From the newsroom of PCJ Radio International, this is Focus Asia Pacific. Today we're presenting part one of a two-part documentary called India's Battle with Online Porn. Now, access to pornography through mobile phones has been sudden and widespread in India. Some say way too sudden for the conservative society, and blame this for the sexual violence against women. But when legal attempts are made to ban pornography, strong resistance emerges in the name of freedom of expression, including sexual expression. Others argue that online pornography is the wrong target, pointing out that around a third of porn viewers in India are women. But what do Indian men themselves make of this? This special documentary is produced and presented by Divya Arya, and she travels to the country to meet men from all backgrounds to find out.
I was 11, and it was the first time I had seen anything connected to sex, and it was straight away hardcore porn. Like, a few things that I remember, obviously shock and everything else, was I want to see more of this. This is good.
I was not able to control myself from watching it. I kept wanting to watch it. I liked watching it, but I was also afraid.
A lot of questions went in my mind. I was thinking, do my parents do it that way? Do my friends do it that way? Is this normal? Is this not normal?
For many young Indian men, their introduction to sex is the first time they watch porn. While that can provide answers to a curious mind, it can also confuse it, especially when the online world is awash with all kinds of content, from Hollywood professional porn, amateur footage, to images of child sexual abuse and rape videos.
Rape videos and rape pornography is huge. Within a few clicks, you would be coming across videos which are showing rape or physical abuse.
Access to such videos through low-cost smartphones, cheap data and social media has been sudden and widespread in India. Some say way too sudden for a conservative society and blame this for increasing sexual violence against women. Others stress that this is impacting attitudes towards women, objectifying them and making violence normal.
It's very desensitizing because you are more and more being told female consent is completely unimportant. It's just not a factor in the consideration of anything that you do.
But what do the porn consumers themselves make of this? As India's women's affairs journalist for the BBC, I have interviewed many women, victims of harassment, discrimination and violence. But this time, I want to hear the other side, from the men themselves, and find out where they stand in India's battle with online porn. And we'll also hear what's being done to tackle the issue. First, I need a guide. A man who knows what porn young men consume and the impact it has on them.
So I'm Aditya Gautam, and I grew up in a town right next to Delhi.
Aditya is lean, tall, sports a beard and looks a few years younger than his 34 years.
And I did my schooling from here, and I joined a Bachelor's of Computer Application course, which I dropped out of after 1 year because I hated it. I realized I only liked playing games and that's it.
Eventually, Aditya did move on from the games and spent several months researching, talking to experts and young men and women across the country for a book on pornography. But his book, Pornistan, How to Survive the Porn Epidemic in India, is also largely inspired by Aditya's own experience of porn.
So it affected me. Eventually started becoming something that I would relax on. If I had like a fight with my parents or a stressful day, I would at night go watch porn and everything was good. 1-2 hours. It stopped even being about masturbating. It was just about watching porn because it was fun. Because I had consumed so much pornography, maybe early that morning or last night, whichever women I would interact with, at some level, I would start playing out sexual act in my head. And for a long time, I thought that was normal. I thought that's what boys do, and you know, I'm just very horny or whatever.
But then there was a turning point.
About 3 odd years ago, I was dating this girl who was very attractive. I knew she was attractive. Everyone around me had confirmed she was attractive. But at one point, I stopped getting aroused by her. And I would still get aroused very easily by porn. And that's when it hit me, dude, there is something seriously wrong with me. How am I being aroused with this stupid screen and not aroused with this actual person?
Aditya wanted to explore the psyche that would lead to such behavior. And his hunt led him to Dr. Shwetang Bansal.
Is this it?
Yes, this is it. This is Shwetang, Dr. Shwetang Bansal's clinic.
Okay.
When I started looking for experts, he's one of the few people that I came across. And yes, he's a sexologist plus a neuropsychiatrist, which is the perfect combination what I was looking for.
Right. Oh, great. So I think he's ready for us. Hi, Dr. Bansal.
Hello.
Thank
Hello.
You so much nice for taking our time.
So a lot of people, especially in India, men, boys and girls, are watching porn to learn about sex. Is that okay?
Pornography as a form of sex education really fails because it builds up unrealistic expectations. And I often say that, learning about sexual activity through watching porn, it's like learning how to drive while watching the Fast and Furious series. It warps your entire view of how it's supposed to be, and it creates unrealistic expectations.
And do these young men, when they come to you, do they talk about these things? Like, do they get into those details of, you know, this is what they expected, and when actually they became intimate with someone, it was a bad experience? Or...
Oh, all the time. Expectations from themselves, expectations from the partner, expectations from the sexual experience by itself. It's somewhere else. And so a lot of them come in with apprehensions. They are often predisposed to depression, towards social anxiety. So a lot of them are presenting with those.
And the problem is getting worse, he says.
The consumption of porn in India, it's just exploded over the last decade. And consequent to that, the age of exposure of an individual to pornography has been declining. It's been in free fall. We have kids the age of 8 or 9 years of age sometimes accessing pornography. The fact that...
That's really young.
Yeah, that's true. And parents are often shocked by it, but it's something that's become ubiquitous, you know, it's at the click of a button.
The sudden explosion of online porn Dr. Shwetang Bansal is referring to has been largely fueled by cheaper smartphones and data in India. Pornhub, widely reported to be the world's largest porn website, claims that India is its fastest growing market. And now it's third largest consumer after the United States and the United Kingdom. And nearly all its content in India is accessed using mobiles.
It's changed everything. Just the amount of freedom we have in selecting what we want to watch. It was so restricted till even 7 years ago. Now it's entire world is in just a click away, right? Buffers really fast. We have 4G now, 5G is coming out next year, I hear.
So we've come to a college in Delhi University with Aditya, and he's going to help us talk to some young men here. I'm a bit skeptical. Are they going to open up about their porn consumption, Aditya?
I am optimistic. I think they'll talk about it. I think the youth of this country wants to talk about it.
Is just that they're not asked those questions.
Correct, exactly. So how often do you think you watch porn?
I think...
Don't underplay, tell me.
Yeah, I won't underplay. I'll tell you genuinely. I guess I watch it in my room on the mobile phone for 2 to 3 times a week for around 15 to 20 minutes. I think initially I was a little guilty when I started viewing that content, but post that, I don't feel guilty in any way or the other. So I think it's just fine, it's a part of growing up.
10 se 15 minutes maximum. Itna hi dekh sakta hun.
I can only watch for 10 to 15 minutes. More than that, I'm not able to control. Intense and hardcore. These are the types of porn I normally watch.
In a negative way, I can say it has given me unrealistic aspirations about what is sex. But it has provided me with some education as well.
Phone pe.
I watch at home on the phone. My favorite videos are the intense type or hardcore porn.
Obviously, this can't be considered a representative sample, but one of the things that struck me was what appeared to be a shared preference for hardcore porn. Aditya wasn't surprised.
When I started researching what people are watching now, I did realize there is this element of watching extreme content because I myself was doing it. So when I started watching hardcore stuff, which was a lot of bondage, which was even stuff edging towards rape videos, after watching it, I would go, what the hell did I just see? What's wrong with me? But then when I would watch it next, I would watch it again. I just could not go back to watching a man having sex with a woman anymore. It was just not interesting to me then.
But it is not just about consuming extreme content. It is increasingly also about watching content which is either filmed without consent or depicts violence in the garb of porn.
If you search for Indian porn, what will come up is a lot of real-life porn filmed from phones or webcams. And more often than not, it is done without consent. The girl doesn't even know she's being filmed. And that seems to be the most popular themed pornography in India. Rape videos and rape pornography is huge.
Rape videos have started circulating via social media apps in India in the past few years. I myself received one on my phone in April this year. It was a video of a 16-year-old girl from a small village in Bihar being molested by a group of young men. I was shocked as it came to me via a regular WhatsApp group of journalists and activists. The person who shared it said he did so to create awareness. But others pushed back and said he could have just shared the information and not circulated the video. This is the other story I wanted to investigate. Leaving Aditya behind in Delhi, I decided to go to Bihar to find out more.
This is where the video was filmed. This is where a dozen young men tried to tear open the clothes of a 16-year-old girl who was wearing a tunic and traditional Indian trousers. It was a very distressing watch, around 10 minutes long, where you could hear the girl pleading, crying for help, calling those young men bhaiya, which is a Hindi word for elder brother, trying to appeal to their better sense. And the boys were cheering, jeering, and clearly enjoying themselves. The video was shared widely, and once it reached the police of the state of Bihar, where I am right now in India's northeast, they acted quite swiftly and arrested those young men. But for the girl, she's in a prison of her own, in a way, because her mother has stopped her from going to school, too afraid, too scared that such an incident could happen again.
No one is willing to answer our questions in the village where the families of the boys live. Anxiety is writ large on everyone's face. After much persuasion, one of the more educated elders, Sujoy Prasad, agrees to talk to us inside his grocery store and admits that he also received the video of the young girl's molestation.
It was a very unfortunate incident. It shouldn't have happened. The internet is now having a bad influence on our children. We didn't used to have it, but in the last 2 years, smartphones have become popular. While they can be useful for those who study, only 10% are using it for information, etc. Everyone else is only watching films on it. And for the kids who are shepherding bulls and sheep in the village, why would they need internet on their phones?
Sujoy also got the video from the social media app WhatsApp. It is very popular in India, both in cities and villages. In fact, with 200 million users, India is the largest market for WhatsApp. Before the internet and social media revolution reached the back of beyond, people were dependent on small shops that sold videos of rape and porn at a small cost as their side business. But as multiple shopkeepers told us, that business is dead now. A trend that was confirmed by a couple of 15 and 16-year-old boys I met in a town nearby.
I have received many rape and molestation videos, maybe 25 to 30 videos altogether. My friends send them to me on WhatsApp group and then I watch them, sometimes with friends or on my own. Out of 10 boys in my class, I would say 7 to 8 are also watching these kinds of videos.
Similarly, this other boy tells me that before smartphones arrived, he had never used the internet. But that now, whenever a new rape video is available, he usually gets to see it. The video I received from Bihar is clearly only one of many, a trend that has Bihar MP Ranjit Ranjan worried. Ranjit is one of only three women out of the 80 MPs from the state of Bihar. And she stands out, not only because she rides a motorbike, but also for her clear, forthright opinions. All this is happening because of smartphones. After the 16-year-old girl's incident, another 6-7 videos came in one after the other. I think the reason behind it was that people thought someone has made a video, so I should also make one. If people had even a little respect for the girl's dignity, they would have gone to the police station instead of sharing the video. You're listening to India's Battle with Online Porn on the BBC World Service. According to Bihar MP Ranjit Ranjan, the fundamental problem is that attitudes towards women are not changing. Despite all the progress, we still treat women or girls more as a source of entertainment and objects. For example, all our public messages say that the boy will come to save the girl. Be a man. Do not tease the girl. Save the girl. So our assumption is that girl cannot take care of herself. It's only the boy who can save her. What Ranjit is suggesting is that violent videos have a role in reinforcing old notions that women have no agency and need not be respected for their independent choices. But there is an absence of discussion about these issues, which in turn leads to a lack of support for the victims, who often feel shame and fear. Fear that can lead to devastating consequences, even death, as I discovered with Geeta, a 40-year-old woman in northern India. A mother and a social worker in a poor rural area, she killed herself after a rape video went viral on WhatsApp. I travelled to Uttar Pradesh, where I spoke with a friend and co-worker of the victim. To protect the friend's identity, her words are spoken by an actress.
She wasn't one to take her own life. I know, because I worked with Geeta for 10 or 12 years. I'm always scared to travel alone, but not Geeta. She would go anywhere. She was so brave. A few days before she died, when we were administering polio drops to children, she told me that something bad had happened to her. Something so bad, she couldn't even tell me. But at that point, she was not thinking about death. In fact, she was thinking about going to the police. She said, "I'll report them. I'll find out the names of the men who abused me and get them arrested."
Within days of the attack, a video of the rape began to circulate on WhatsApp.
She called me and said it had become difficult to go out of her house because all her neighbors knew about it. She sounded so worried. She wasn't even eating properly. When she called me, she asked her daughter to move away so she could talk to me privately. I overheard the daughter's reply. She said, "What are you going to talk privately about? The whole village knows about it now." I wondered why she didn't tell me about the video. But then it was too late. I didn't get a chance to ask her.
Geeta was found on the roadside near the village, unconscious. She died before she could be taken to hospital. The postmortem confirmed death by self-poisoning.
I think some of the pain I'll carry to my grave. I become far more angry today than I was when I started my journey. And I cannot even describe my outrage.
Sunitha Krishnan, herself a rape survivor, heads an organization called Prajwala, one of the largest organizations in India working on issues of sex crimes.
Well, it all started in 2015 when I received two videos on WhatsApp from a concerned citizen. When I looked at the videos, it was very, very shocking. One was a 12-year-old child being raped by 8 men. And another one was somewhere in a location where this young woman was perhaps with her boyfriend, and the boyfriend was getting beaten up and the woman was being raped, and a third person was recording the entire thing on the mobile phone.
Within 24 hours, she started a campaign called Shame the Rapist and posted the videos, completely blurring the identity of the victims and highlighting the images of the offenders and requesting people at large to identify them. The campaign proved controversial and was criticized even by feminists, who felt the videos should not be further circulated to protect the victims. But while she stopped the campaign, people carried on sending her videos.
I became, as an individual, a universal dumping ground in India for all the people in the country to dump their videos on me, saying that we got this on WhatsApp, we found it this way, and can you report it?
Which she did, going directly to India's Supreme Court and asking them to investigate.
As the investigation started, one of the things that came out and was like a Pandora's box for us was this huge, huge market for videos of rape and gang rape. The first video that was cracked, they even found the uploader who was uploading such videos online. And with him, they found around 489 such videos. So that's kind of started giving us an idea what's the extent of the problem.
Sunitha Krishnan reckons she has now received hundreds more rape videos. While in some cases she has managed to get them removed from most platforms, she is only too aware that it's almost impossible to entirely erase anything from the internet.
One young girl told me that till I go to my grave, I will not be sure whether the person I'm looking at right now has not seen my video. She said, can you give me a guarantee that this video will be completely pulled out? And I was blank, because in today's age, I cannot guarantee that. So it's kind of like a dead end for her. And that is a permanent, irreversible damage which, you know, many other victims whose videos are not recorded do not have. There is a phase of trauma and there's a phase of surviving. And then there is a stage of recovery and you say, okay, let go. But here is a situation, as long as a video is somewhere in somebody's mobile, there's no closure.
And next week on the program, we will bring you part two. Now, for regular listeners to PCJ Radio International, you may know that we have a Patreon page. And now here's some information about that.
Hello.
Hello.
Here's the Happy Station Show, calling listeners everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's your station of smiles across.
Hello, I'm Keith Perron, host of the Happy Station Show from PCJ Radio International, which next year will celebrate its 90th anniversary. Along with many new listeners that we have attracted over the last 7 years, there are also many of you that tune in who remember the Eddie Starts and Tom Meyer days.
Things are getting to be more improvised any minute. What was the name of this beautiful piece? Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Kiss it up. Kiss
Over the past few years, many of you have commented that you enjoy when we go into the archives and broadcast material that hasn't been heard in decades. With a number of people asking if the Happy Station Show and Radio Nederland archives will be made available. And guess what? Yes. That's right. Yes. The answer is yes.
Can you imagine when Happy Station was only 7 years old, you started...
I would like to invite you to become a patron at Patreon. At Patreon, you will be able to hear the latest Happy Station show. And for those who are patrons, you will have full access to unedited Happy Station shows and Radio Netherlands content, both in sound and vision, from the past 89 years. All these sound recordings have been remastered from the original tapes and discs. And let's talk about films for a moment. That's right, Happy Station did produce some films. And we went back to this production studio and remastered them. Now just look at how the original 16mm print looked before. But after spending numerous hours going frame by frame, now look at it.
It was really only a hunch. I had an intuition that... He had style enough.
Now, I know that many of you right now would like to see and hear these historical programs. Well, guess what? It's time for you to become a patron at Patreon. Those who become patrons at Patreon will be helping to support the digitization of all these tapes and films.
You cross your fingers, you hold your heart. It's curtain time and away we go. Another opening of another show.
And those who are patrons will also get rewards like rare music recordings, rare programs, books, and much more. Also, if we reach our goal of $200 a month, PCJ Radio International will produce special programs that will be broadcast on shortwave for you. So come on now, show your support today, become a patron at Patreon. For more information, visit www.patreon.com/PCJRadio.
Paramaribo, 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 Paramaribo.
And once again, the link is www.patreon.com/PCJRadio. That's all we have time for on this edition of the program. We'll see you again in 7 days' time. Just a quick reminder that listeners in the Pacific can catch a 3x daily edition of Focus Asia Pacific, not with yours truly, but with a variety of other hosts. Anyway, that's all we have time for. We'll see you again very soon. Bye-bye and take care.